Hello, my friends. It's been a while since we've been together in this audio-video space. For those of you who don't know, I did a season of podcast episodes like this back in the pandemic summer of 2020 under the banner The Work Revolution. I think a lot of those episodes still hold up. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to check them out. But a few things have changed in the last 5 years. For me personally, I've been through a divorce and started a new relationship. I built a tech company called Love Work and then lost the tech company. I have approximately 100% more beard than the last time you saw me. In many ways, I'm not the same Josh. But in many ways, I am. I still care deeply about the future we're creating, probably even more than I used to. I've been toying with doing another podcast since the last one, but for whatever reason, it never worked out. Then about a year ago, after Love Work closed, I decided I wanted to focus my next business on keynote speaking. Now, that's been a strange and fascinating journey, trying to learn this niche business. Happy to share if you want to know more about that. But then about a month ago, I realized that moving forward, I wanted to be more futurist than org culture guy. Of course, I'm bringing my 15 plus years of leadership, culture, organizational development experience with me, but I just want to use it in a bigger and broader way. So that's what we'll be exploring in this podcast that I'm calling Hello Tomorrow. And it seems pretty clear to me that right now we need more positive visions of the future. It's remarkably easy to conjure up dark dystopian visions of the future. All we really got to do for that is just imagine things going down the same path we're going down now. I think most of us know that the path we're on doesn't really lead anywhere we want to go. But it's really hard to imagine better futures in really dark times. It's like we just don't have enough light to make the picture. You need good lighting for a good picture. So here on this podcast, we're not going to shy away from talking about the stuff that's broken. We're just going to make sure to look at those things a little differently. Other places might look at broken things and discuss the darkness that broke them. We're going to look at broken things and notice the light coming through the cracks. I want to help us try to make sense of what's next. And I will always try to give us an optimistic view on what we can do differently. This is really important. Optimism is not blind hope. Optimism is a rebellion strategy. Revolutionaries are always optimists. They see something better and they care enough to fight for it. Now, some weeks we'll talk about broader, more philosophical things that I think will help us understand the bigger picture of what's happening. Now, other weeks we'll talk about something timely that's happening that week. Today's episode is very timely. Now, just a few days ago, the headlines informed us that Anthropic, the creators of Claude AI, agreed to pay $1.5 billion to settle a class action lawsuit filed by authors. Now, at first glance, this seems like a huge win. Finally, creators getting a piece of the pie. A big tech company has to pay for scraping and pirating copyrighted content. Yay! As much as I like a party, I'm not sure this is the win we're hoping for, and I'm pretty confident it's not the win we're needing. So my first concern is that this settlement is not a fix, but a distraction. A cleverly timed bit of like PR jujitsu. It gives the illusion of justice while obscuring a deeper problem. Sure, the settlement includes a requirement for Anthropic to destroy their pirated training data, but I'm pretty sure the damage is already done. So, example, let's say you stole a bunch of ingredients, you baked a cake, and then you promised to throw away the stolen flour and eggs, and you agreed to pay the miller and the chicken farmer. All right, but the cake is already out of the oven. It's frosted. It's being served. You're selling it. You're making money on it. But this AI thing, it isn't really even like that, because the AI cake is actually already using itself to make more new cakes and open entirely new bakeries. You can't unbake a cake, especially one that can make its own new cakes. fine, this metaphor isn't perfect, but hopefully you see my point. The model is trained. The output has already absorbed the pirated works. Now, unless I'm missing something here, deleting source files won't unlearn what the AI has already internalized. And if I'm right, this isn't remediation, it's theater. Now, current legal mechanisms, they're built to penalize after harm has already been done. We fine companies for misdeeds once the damage is baked in, reputational or otherwise. But whatever nasty stuff they've done is already done. The chemicals are already in the water. The forever plastic is already in your brain. A remedial payment for your nuclear fallout cancer is not better than never getting cancer to begin with. Also, fines are only a punishment if you're broke. Anthropic just raised another $13 billion just last week. So this adds to my feeling that this settlement isn't a reason to celebrate. It's a calculated expense. It's a rounding error on the balance sheet of a company playing the long game. Now, don't get me wrong. From what I can tell, Anthropic is likely the most ethical of the current big tech AI options. But because they are playing by the same structural rules of capitalism that we all are, it means the deck is always stacked in favor of those with capital. Anthropic needs lots of capital to play this game. And there are actually very few other organizations that have this level of cash to play at this level of a settlement. So in this diseased game, this capitalistic game, $1.5 billion today for untold billions tomorrow might actually be a pretty good deal. Now, authors getting compensated matters. It does. But unless this settlement becomes the foundation for real reform, it's just going to be Band-Aid on a bullet wound. The risk is that we're giving creators a false sense that justice has been served, when in fact, what just happened is that the future value of creative work was just purchased for pennies on the dollar. Anthropic and other AI companies too, what they could be doing through this case is securing their right to continue profiting from the labor of artists, writers, musicians forever. And they're even assigning a price tag to do it, while making one-time payments that feel fair because we're not yet living in a future where AI is printing these trillion-dollar gains. But AI companies know what's coming. They're trying to lock in the upside now while everyone else is still arguing about consent and copyright. Now, if you think I'm misunderstanding what's happening here, I hope you'll get in touch. Let me know what I'm missing. But there's actually another problem here to contend with, and I think it's even bigger and even badder. The even bigger issue here is the massive economic displacement AI is already starting to unleash. Middle-class jobs, white-collar careers, creative professionals, knowledge work. We are shockingly unprepared for what's coming. Nobody knows where all of these displaced people will go. We haven't built retraining pipelines. We haven't even really named this problem, much less organized around a solution. Meanwhile, the benefits of AI are flowing straight up the pyramid into the hands of tech billionaires who already own the means of production, and now they own the training data. This is not a small problem. This is a tsunami. And our leaders, here in the United States in particular, are sitting on a proverbial beach taking selfies, ignoring the fact that there is no economic safety net in place for the scale of disruption we're about to experience. If we had actual wisdom in our leadership, here's what they'd be pushing for right now: a shared wealth fund. Now, a shared wealth fund could capture a portion of the AI-generated economic value and redistribute that value to the public. This is not a crazy idea. It's not socialism. This is already happening in one of our red-leaning states, even in Alaska. there's something called the Alaska Permanent Fund. Now, this allows for a dividend paid to Alaskan residents so they can all share in the wealth of the state's oil and mining revenues. I think we need something like this, but national, connected to AI value creation and scaled to the size of the AI revolution. Every American gets a dividend. This is not welfare. This is not a handout. This is a return on investment for being part of the society that enabled this technology to exist. It exists because of the taxes paid by our parents and grandparents. It exists because of public education. It exists because of taxpayer-funded tech infrastructure. It exists because of open internet protocols. And yes, it exists because of the creative works and labor that trained these machines. This fund would be future-focused, forward-leaning. It would be about what we can create together for the future, not about chasing back pay and restitution. This fund, it could bankroll massive retraining and reskilling efforts. It could bankroll creative entrepreneurial grants, public infrastructure modernization, and give universal dividends that restore some balance to our currently insane income inequality. Now, that's exactly what's happening in Alaska, by the way. It's restoring some semblance of income equality. And I'll put a link to that article about that in the show notes as well. So what's happening here is fascinating, perhaps most, because there are actually discussions about this kind of idea happening right now in our government. In April, Congressman Morgan McGarvey from Kentucky introduced an exploratory bill to create a U.S. sovereign wealth fund that could eventually do something exactly like what I'm talking about. And believe it or not, Trump, in his own bumbling way, actually sees something in this realm as helpful too. He signed an executive order about a sovereign wealth fund back in February. But did you hear about either of these things? Are these two plans even aware that the other exists? Has anyone made the connection that there's clearly a bipartisan supported existentially important issue here? I wasn't aware of either of these efforts until I did the research for this episode. Right now, it seems to me this issue is almost entirely off the radar. Instead, we're going to argue about who owns which paragraphs from which book while the systemic wealth transfer happens in real time. This is making a future we don't want. Now, I published my original article on this topic 3 days ago. Just this morning, the judge denied the settlement, saying it's nowhere close to complete, saying that class members, seriously, get the shaft once the money part is settled, and he's concerned about a number of parts of this deal. I did not mean for this episode to be about a developing story, but here we are. I'll have to come back in another episode and update you on what's happening in this case. But for now, the good news seems to be that maybe the judge is seeing what I'm seeing, that this payout of $1.5 billion, it's actually not justice. It's simply a down payment on the future that the tech companies intend to own. I don't know where this case will go, of course, but I do know that the game is much bigger than this case. If we don't build a new system that shares the wealth AI is going to create, we're not just going to see some job losses. We're going to watch what's left of the middle class vanish entirely. And if this happens, we'll only have ourselves to blame because we were too busy watching the smokescreen to realize that the real heist is happening right now in plain sight. We can make different choices. We can put pressure on the system to do something different. I hope you will do whatever you can, even if it's just increasing your awareness about these issues and sharing the information or the idea about a shared wealth fund that should be built on the back of AI productivity gains. Thanks for listening. See you next week.